Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome to episode 20 of FPL Family. My name is Lee. This is Sam. Another FPL-packed weekend of action. Highs and lows, all sorts of weird goings on. But one thing's for sure, Lord Lundstrom is the king of FPL. Has there been a better asset than John Lundstrom in how many years of FPL?
Well, not since Jimenez last year, but even then I don't think Jimenez was quite up to Jimenez, this level.
Jimenez was a fantastic FPL asset, but Lord Lundstrom is, I mean, come
it's
on.
A gift. It's a come gift on. From if the FPL
was,
gods.
If he was a 6.5 midfielder, you'd consider him, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah.
You'd absolutely consider him if he was a 6.5 midfielder, because he's that creative. He gets forward so nicely in a Sheffield United side that are playing well, guys. Oh,
double
me.
Sheffield defence.
Did you have double Sheffield defence again? You and your double Sheffield defence is absolutely ruining me. Guys, welcome. Good evening. I hope you've had a good game week. I personally have had I have had a very good game week, and then you've completely shot me down and beat me again this game week, which is getting so...
You beat me last week, didn't you?
Oh, I think I did beat you last game week, but only by a smidgen, and you've smidgened me back this week. But guys, it was the jammiest of jammy, and those of you that are following us on Twitter, at FPL Family, you'll know what I'm talking about. The jammy Soyuncu off the bench. Kane was ill, which never happens. When is Kane ever ill? Even when he's ill, he plays.
Kids are giving him a virus. You know what these kids are like?
Now that he's got kids, that's a problem. They're giving him a virus. Everyone's upset, except for you, Sam, from FPL Family, because even though you were a little
bit upset.
Don't give me that.
No,
don't
I was.
Give me that.
No, don't lie. I was upset.
You were like, oh, it's real shame that Kane can't play today.
You absolute lying toe rag. That is not the truth. You know that I was like, what are we going
to
do without Kane? This is a total saga.
Yeah.
This is a total nightmare.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You were very upset.
Premier League first.
I just have to take Soyuncu's 14 off the bench. Damn it.
I really dislike you. We nearly got divorced yesterday, I tell you.
Well, listen, it was a weekend of ups and downs, guys. It really, really was. And the first thing we've got to say is we hope that Andre Gomez is okay, because that was an absolutely...
Oh,
it was a really horrible injury. I don't even want to discuss it too much. I don't know if you noticed, but Sky didn't show the replays. They showed the replay of the incident up until the moment of impact.
It's made me feel funny.
And then they didn't show it because it was that bad. And obviously, the players were distressed. Son was distressed. I mean... I don't know, it's 100% not in Son's nature to do anything like that. And you could see that he was really visibly upset. And it's kind of his tackle that means Andre Gomez loses his kind of footing. And then Aurier is the impact. Oh, it wasn't a good one, guys.
It's just one of those awful, awful freak accidents.
Absolutely.
Bad tackle, but no malice intended. Just horrific, absolutely horrific. So, yeah. Hope Gomez is going to be okay.
Hope he's all right. So we went from, you know, the lows of the Andre Gomez injury to a personal high for me. I mean, how mental did I go when Mane scores that goal? From all accounts, we played pretty well against Villa and we were hammering on the door like we were against Spurs last week, but just couldn't get the goals. So Robbo's goal goes in on 87 minutes and I was giving it a bit of that. But in reality, I knew City were winning 2-1. And you know, that's how good the Premier League is at the top right now. You've got to win. A draw feels like a defeat. So when Mane ghosts in at the near post, I've just gone absolutely mental.
Thing is, when they had that free kick, I said to the children, I said, just be warned, Daddy might go mental
Daddy
in a minute.
Mental.
I just had a feeling that it was coming. And then it obviously didn't come, but it was a corner and I went, be warned, Daddy might go mental. Oh, we did. He really did go mental.
So I went 10 out of 10 mental because Liverpool just won 2-1. It went up to 11 out of 10 when I knew it was Mane. And then it went up to 12 out of 10
when I knew it was
a Trent assist. I was like, that is absolutely fantastic. I was absolutely delighted with that. Absolutely delighted. So lots of highs and lows, guys. Lots of VAR controversy again. I noticed that on Match of the Day last night, there's a lot of... They just avoided it. It was just like an awkward, they just didn't talk about the VAR decisions. I wonder whether they're just like, we could sit here every Saturday night and just fill this whole hour and a half with VAR nonsense, or shall we actually talk about the football?
The thing is, it's getting worse though, because they were supposed to have had a big meeting, all the managers sat down and discussed it was supposed to be better. This weekend, in my view, it's been worse than ever. The decisions, like Dele Alli, that's a clear handball. It's a clear penalty.
Even you were sitting there.
I was like, that's a penalty. It's obviously a penalty. It's come off his hand. And then it's not a penalty. And then he gives a yellow card to Son and then a red card to Son. But there's no VAR on it to check it. And it's just like...
Listen, it's crazy. We're not going there.
It is... The VAR thing is crazy.
Yeah.
I've been calling it
CAC for weeks. And I think you've been like... It's bad, but, you know, give it time. But even now, you're like,
it's CAC. Today, I lost the plot with it. It was that Dele Alli penalty thing that did it for me. Because if I was an Everton fan, I'd be furious about that.
It was not good. Let's go to the questions, guys, before we get into the usual stuff that we do every week here on FPL Family. We'll talk about the fixtures. We'll talk about our teams. We'll go through our overall ranks. And I want to hear from you guys in the live chat, in the comments below, about how your teams have got on this game week. I think a pretty good game week for the most part of FPL managers.
Yeah, there average are some... 53, I think. So
yeah,
decent.
I think it's a pretty good game week. It feels a little bit like last game week, where if you're in the sort of 50s, that was about sort of average, and 60s, 70s looking pretty good.
What's interesting...
Some tough scores out there as well. I know. I've seen them on Twitter. But I think generally speaking, it's been all right.
What's interesting, though, is that those... And then this might be a nice segue into what we want to talk about first. But, you know, of my premium assets that I've spent all my money on, Kane obviously didn't play because he was ill. KDB blanked. Salah blanked. Sterling blanked. So many of those kind of premium assets that we've all invested our big money in.
Yeah.
Doing absolutely nothing.
It's crazy, isn't it?
And then you look to the likes of Soyuncu.
Yeah.
Lundstrom.
Rico. Yeah, beautiful.
And you think... Why am I spending all this money? Even John McGinn popped up with an assist this week.
Yeah, I think you could feasibly put together a pretty decent FPL team on something like 70 or 80 million, couldn't you? And not pick any premiums, which seems bonkers because we've all got the 100 million. We feel like we have to spend it. Who are your premiums going to be? It's kind of a case for not having many of them at the minute. It just seems a bit odd. It's a very, very weird season, as you guys will know, because it's been a difficult season. Here's the questions, guys. Get into the polls. Little white eye above my head, top right-hand corner. First question comes from... all the questions actually come from the Twitter community. So thank you, Twitterati, for responding to my tweet earlier about questions for tonight's live stream. Mohamed Zaid is the first question. Thank you, Mohamed. He's saying, which team will end up with the most clean sheets by the end of the season? Liverpool, Man City, Palace... Sheffield United or Leicester?
Double Sheffield.
Listen, not a ridiculous question. Mohamed Zaid, nice question, like it. Ariaman, who I know is often on these live streams. So Ariaman, thank you for the question on Twitter. He says, which Bournemouth defender do I go to now? So with Bournemouth going all out, I don't know, they've gone full AC Milan mid-90s, haven't they?
They have.
Costa Curta and all this. And for some reason, they seem to have been able to put together... three back-to-back clean sheets.
Yeah.
And in a very un-Bournemouth way. You know, we talk about Bournemouth being all full of attacking intent and actually being a bit leaky at the back. You can get at these guys, but the likes of Rico and Ramsdale now are really coming to the fore. So which Bournemouth defender do you want to buy, Ariaman says? Is it Adam Smith, Rico, Steve Cook, who I thought was brilliant, actually, Steve Cook at the weekend. Thought he had a very, very good game. Or Nathan Ake, who I know you've also had a look at as well. So I want to get your opinion on that when we answer these polls at the end of the live stream, guys. And then question three comes from Mark Dorney, long-term supporter of FPL Family and Patreon. Mark, good evening if you're in, and welcome to the live stream. How many City players, and this goes back to the point we were just making, how many City players, Mark says, should we have for the next five game weeks? 3, 2, 1, or zero, he says.
Zero?
Zero is an option that Mark would like you guys to answer in the poll question. How many
intriguing
Man City players should we have now? 3, 2, 1, or zero? And the final question comes from Nick Khan. Thank you, Nick Khan, for the question. He is simply saying, Raheem Sterling, what are we doing? Buy, sell, or hold? His tweet says, stick or twist. So what are you guys saying about Raheem Sterling? Many people putting the captaincy on him this week, me included, and he returns a one-pointer. Do you know what? I knew that was going to happen. As soon as Mendy was not on that team sheet,
I said that to you,
I was like, I've made the wrong choice here. And then I was worried about you and your Kevin De Bruyne. And actually, he didn't really come in either in that game. So
Captain Lundstrom.
Always Captain Lundstrom, absolutely. So thank you for the questions, guys. Before we get started and say hello to a few people, we need to say some special hellos to a few people that are new to our Patreon. We've had a flurry of people join us for the November Manager of the Month tier. We've had John Jansky, who actually left and came back.
So I don't know what's going on with Jansky.
I thought I'd give Jansky a little special shout-out because he left and I was like, Jansky!
For a day.
Jansky, what are you up to? And then he was like, oh, I'm coming back.
He obviously missed us so much.
He missed us. So Jansky, welcome. Sorry to see you go.
Welcome back.
Welcome back, Jansky. Absolutely, yes, yes. RedBulls_FBL, who is already very active in our Slack. So RedBulls, thank you for joining us. Andreas is in as well, as is David Packer, Pete Hampson, Lucy Kemba, and Ardash, all in at the Manager of the Month tier, and most of you guys over in the Slack as well. If you're not in the Slack already, let us know. Hit us up on DM on Twitter, or come find us in the comments below.
I have sent everybody a message, and you should have had an email from me with a Slack.
Check your mail. Check your mail, guys. You should have a little link there to the Slack from Sam, and you can come and join us over there. And of course, all of those guys will get access to our Ohana podcast every Friday, as well as entry to the Manager of the Month tier for November, which is already hotting up. Some very good scores in there already in the month of November, which we'll talk about a bit later on. Right, let's have a look. There's our Twitter on the left-hand side, at FPL Family. We're also at FPL Family over on Instagram as well, as most of you guys will already know.
There's a picture of Jammy Dodgers in your...
There's pictures of Jammy Dodgers in my Twitter feed because I tweeted about you, dear, and your jamminess, and it got something like 250 likes in the course of an hour. So people agree with me. I put something like... What did I put in the tweet? I put something like... Here we go. This is what I've had to deal with for 10 plus years of FPL, is you and your absolute jamminess. Soyuncu off the bench because Kane doesn't play is absolute peak Sam FPL Family. Absolute peak. And by the way, I'm over it. It's fine. I'm fine. I'm cool. It's really no problem. It's really no problem. There's our Twitter, at FPL Family. Let's say hello to a few people before I get too upset with Soyuncu coming off your bench. FPL Tips is here. Harry, good evening. How are you doing? Or actually, good evening, he says. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening, Harry. How are you doing? FPL Gazmo is here. How are you doing? He says, do you guys have a dog? No, we don't actually.
We have a couple of cats.
Two cats. So if you do hear some little ringing in the background, that is their collars ringing. And they do go a little bit mental about this time of night because the children have just gone to bed. So that is their cue to go absolutely mental most nights.
Yeah.
To be honest.
They're also
to
very stressed at the moment. So
they're also a bit stressed, guys, because this is actually I'm glad you brought that up. This is the last live stream that we're going to be doing in this house. This is the last time you're going to see the £2.50 curtains from Asda that we bought.
Excuse me?
I've never liked them curtains. They're bloody awful.
No.
So that's the last time you're going to see them curtains and indeed the sort of window backdrop there, guys. So we're moving house. We're moving house on Wednesday of next week. Not going very far, but I'm crossing my fingers that we're going to have internet and all that sorted out for next Sunday.
We may be live from our house.
I'm hoping we're going to be live from the new house this time next week.
We may be live from my parents' house, depending upon where has the internet.
That could happen. It could happen. But listen, I'm hoping, fingers crossed, I can sort my internet out. We can have super fast broadband because apparently it's much faster in the new house than it is here.
Ooh,
so it'll be proper like 1080p and all that nonsense.
Oh gosh, you're not going to be high definition or something, is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, get some makeup on, do my hair a little bit better. On, yeah, absolutely. So we're going to be HD, hopefully,
oh,
this time next Sunday. Hyperoptic for broadband and all that sort of stuff. If we can sort it out, guys, we will be live next Sunday. And I hope that we are because, of course, Liverpool versus Man City next weekend. And I want to get on to the live stream and see what you guys are saying about Liverpool, Man City. But nevertheless, let's crack on with this evening. Jeff from the Captain's Pick podcast is here. How are you doing, Jeff? Very nice to see you. Arnesh Mijra is here. How are we doing? All hail Lord Lundstrom, he says. I love that. He's got so much love, Lundstrom, this week. So much love.
The guy's
love.
A legend.
He is a legend. LTEL FPL, how are you doing, LTEL? He says, Pope. Don't know what about Pope. What about Pope? Thinking about getting rid of him, actually,
not
to be honest with you.
Not as good as Henderson.
Burnley really in the doldrums at the minute. Not looking good. Not looking good. There's Ariaman. How are you doing, Ariaman? 18. Welcome to the live stream. 82 points, he says. Woo!
Very nice.
Ariaman, nice. 82 points. Loving that. Garfield Rob is here. Never benching ever again with a sad emoji face. I can only imagine. That's got to be one. Could be one or the other. Could be one or the other. I'm guessing it's Lundstrom. And do you know what's really annoying about the Lundstrom and or Soyuncu is that a lot of the players that people had in their first 11s came on for like 1 point cameos. Otamendi got like 30 seconds. Callum Hudson-Odoi got a few minutes, didn't he? And all these players were like coming on. I noticed Danny Jameson, who's a friend of ours from the FPL show, and I follow him on Twitter. Really, really great guy. He was banking on Fredrick staying on the bench for West Ham so that Lundstrom come on and Fredrick's was on. He just tweeted, no, it's absolutely awful. George Malayi is here. Good evening, he says. Hey, George, how are we doing? Ray M is here. Good evening. How are we doing? Jason Correz, Matthew Little.
Do you have anyone triple captain Lundstrom this week?
There's no triple captain Lundstrom. What are you talking about, woman? No one's triple captain Lundstrom.
Somebody always will have.
If you've triple captain Lundstrom, We want to know.
Somebody
know.
In the game will have, I bet you.
Michael Glover is here. How are you doing? Scott Schrager, how are we doing, Scott? From our Patreon, Scott, how are we doing? Good evening. Aaron Chen, also another patron. How are we doing? Jeff is in. Jeff Holt, how are we doing? Very
Hi,
nice
Jeff.
To see you. FPL Alex the Kid is here. Gamer on Duty is here. And Wesaya and all sorts of you guys. So welcome to FPL
hey,
family. And if you are
16
what?
Triple captains on Lindstrom.
No
game
way.
Told you somebody would have
16. Oh my god, that's actually way more than I thought there was going to be. 16 people triple captain Lindstrom. And Galtam is saying my wife was one of them. Absolutely amazing.
See,
16 people.
Imagine if you triple captain Lindstrom, you would be so happy
there
with that.
There we go. Azzy's confirmed it in the super chat. Thank you for the super chat, Azzy. 16 people triple captained.
What would that been? 63 points from him.
Oh, savage.
Would have beat the average on his own.
You would have. Yeah, just TC Lundstrom has done you the business
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
Absolutely right.
What a legend.
There we go, guys. At FPL Family over on Twitter and indeed over on Instagram. Let's have a look at these games. That's Fantasy Football Scout, which we'll come to a bit later on. There is the games. There are the games. So much to discuss. So much to talk about. I genuinely don't even know where to start. I tell you what, we don't often start at Liverpool. Let's start with Liverpool. What did you make of the game? It was one of those games where it felt like Liverpool were banging the door down, particularly in the first half. I think was fairly equal from what we heard on BT Sports Score. We didn't watch the game because it was a 3 o'clock kickoff, but from what I was hearing from BT Sports Score, it seemed fairly even about half time. But obviously the Villa went in 1-0 up, and then second half, the mentality of Liverpool to just keep going until we get something out of that game. And even with the Robbo header, by the way, beautiful little crossfield ball from Mane, wasn't it, to assist Robbo's header. And then just the mentality of Liverpool to go on and win that game.
Mm.
You've got Salah now and Trent. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Trent's going nowhere, given that actually his stats for the game week were pretty damn good. He was top for crosses, 20 crosses in the game week, and indeed top for touches in the opponent's half with something like, what's that? I can't even read the statistic, but something like 132 touches in the opponent's half for the game week. So
yeah.
Trent is looking... Despite only getting 7, should we have expected more from Trent? Maybe we should. I don't know. But 7 is still a good return. But Salah now. How are we feeling about Salah?
My honest answer is I don't really know what I'm doing about Salah. I had a chat with Lucy, one of our new patrons, about this. Because I think, for me, I've always been, pretty much the whole of this season, actually, very loyal with Salah. Now, last
yes.
season, I did the Salah to Mane swap quite early on. And it paid off massively. This season, I haven't felt as much of an urge to do it on the basis that the price difference isn't as great. And now it's actually very little in
yeah.
terms of price.
I don't think it's going to be too long before they're
before
the same,
absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
But I think this is the first game week where I've actually thought I'm going to move him on.
Yeah.
And that's for two reasons. I think firstly, this whatever is wrong with his ankle is clearly... It's enough that he's not getting the full games.
Yeah.
It's enough that he's missing training or training on his own. And it feels like he's a bit disconnected. When we watched them on Match of the Day, it was very much Mane and Firmino. And he just felt a little bit isolated out there. Having said that, obviously, he dropped in price last night. But I didn't want to do anything until the Champions League. Because we've got game week in the week. And you just... I mean, we saw today, you just never know what's going to happen in these games. And the last thing you want to do is make a rash transfer to save 0.1.
Yeah.
I'd rather lose 0.1 on him and make that transfer. I can still afford to do it midweek and do it midweek when I know that Mane's made it through the game okay and we know a bit more. But I think for now, it's probably going to be this week that I do that change.
Yeah, I think I saw some reports in the lead up to this game week talking about the fact that he was having to have fluid drained from his ankle and stuff like that, and the fact. So there is definitely something
problem.
There. There's something there. Now
it's, like
it's
pain,
obviously
it?
Not enough for him to completely drop out of the team on a Saturday.
Yeah.
But you are absolutely right. When he played, and I saw some of the Match of the Day highlights, he was very ineffective in that game.
He was.
And it was a bit like the shoulder injury when he had the shoulder injury at the beginning of last season. Again, really ineffective. Unless he's fully, fully fit, he does drift out of games. He tends to. Almost like just avoid those tackles and take it a bit easier so it doesn't make him any worse.
The thing is, I think Liverpool play with such a high tempo.
Yeah.
And there's such a push all the time, right from the wing backs, through the pitch. And I thought, for me, what was noticeable this game week, watching the highlights, was that Salah wasn't, he wasn't keeping up with that. He was drifting, he wasn't as focused as the others.
To me about Mane then, because if you were going to transfer out Salah, you've said on previous live streams you want somebody in that Liverpool front line.
I'll go to Mane, yeah.
Mane rather than Firmino?
Yes.
Christmas is coming,
but we're not there yet.
Not there yet, okay. So you would go Salah to Mane, and by the way, I thought Mane was at his dangerous best at the weekend.
Yeah.
He could have had another assist for that Firmino goal that was offside, VAR, we ain't going there. But again, could have had more points, in the end got something like 12 points. Looks very, very good. If we were going to get goals, if we were going to get something out of that game, it was going to come from him, I think.
Yeah, but I think for me, and a few people have asked me this over the last couple of game weeks, and I don't know what your views are, but for me, I'm kind of in the double Liverpool defence camp.
Okay.
Now, this is a shift from where I was a couple of weeks ago, because up until probably a couple of game weeks ago, I was very much in that I was going to own Salah and Mane going through this lovely run that you've got after the Man City game in game week 12, up until your random week off that you basically
yes.
have.
It's not a week off, we're going to Japan.
But you know what I mean, a week off of FPL. So that was my plan, but I'm looking at them now, and I'm looking at Robbo, who I owned, the only player I owned for every single game week last season.
Yeah.
And I keep thinking, I want you back. Like, you're just so dangerous.
He's not going to score many goals.
No.
But he's going to get assists.
He's going to get plenty of assists. And it's the same with Trent. I don't expect lots of goals necessarily from Trent, but I do expect lots of assists. And Trent might get the odd set-piece goal, but
yeah.
It's mostly going to be assists. But I'm looking at those two thinking, I actually think there's better value for money in me owning those than there is me owning Salah or Firmino at the moment.
Yeah, well, we've talked about the fixture swing on here before. From game week 13, Liverpool go away to Crystal Palace, home to Brighton, home to Everton, away to Bournemouth. So after that Man City game, not only do they play teams that are, you know, those are absolutely winnable fixtures,
yes.
But equally those are teams that are not scoring, you know, free scoring. You know, Palace, you wouldn't say score a ton of goals. Brighton, okay, they've been a bit better recently, but they don't, not scoring a, you know, I wouldn't say Maupay is like banging them in left, right and centre. Trossard, I want to talk about a bit later on. Everton, of course, got their own struggles, and you know, they will feel Andre Gomez going. They haven't won a game without Andre Gomez this season. And then, of course, Bournemouth, who for some reason seem to have turned into like absolutely ridiculous at the back, but can't score many going forward.
They're a team of two halves, aren't they, Bournemouth? At the beginning of the season,
it's bizarre.
They couldn't keep a clean sheet, but yet they were scoring for fun. Now, they can't score. Well, they scored one, but you know, they did score a lot of goals.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're keeping clean sheets all the time.
That's bizarre. So anyway, so from game week 13, Liverpool playing some teams that not only they can beat, but teams that they should keep clean sheets against. So I think if I was going to go for the double up on Liverpool, either in attack or in defence, I think I'd be with you. I think I would go Trent and Robbo.
It feels like Trent, Robbo and Mane. They feel like the three to be on for Liverpool right now.
And from a Villa perspective, you've got McGinn. He got an assist. So again, even in a game where I think he was, you know, was a little bit peripheral from what I understood. Villa fans will be able to tell me differently. Again, pops up with an assist. What's not to like about this guy? You're still on him, you're still happy.
And, you know, was unlucky last week not to get a goal right at the end there.
Yes, yeah.
For me, in that price bracket, I can't find anybody that I want or trust as much. Like, I'm happy to play John McGinn. I got a lot of abuse this week for playing him against when he was playing Liverpool.
Yeah.
But he was at home. And I just felt like he we've already talked about John McGinn against Spurs, against Chelsea. He's popped up with goals or assists in those games. And so for me, I wanted to play him. And, you know, he returned the assist. I'm not going to shift him. I think he's an important part of how my team works financially.
Yeah, sure.
Without him, I'm a struggle.
Very good. All right. Well, Josh, thank you, Josh. Thank you for joining us this evening. Josh is saying, well, for the same price as McGinn, you could have Mr. Trossard from Brighton, who
I
thought looked very, very good at the weekend.
Now, I'd rather have him than Cantwell, who I've still got, though.
Absolutely. So those three are all in the same-ish sort of bracket. And of the three, I think Cantwell is probably third of those three right now. But the other two, McGinn is absolutely at the top there, given his record so far this season. But Trossard, back on the radar.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Points again this game, a goal and assist. Took his goal very well, actually. Montoya actually got the three bonus points, despite Trossard's goal and assist. But nevertheless, Trossard looks really good. Same sort of price as McGinn, according to Josh there in the live chat. How are we feeling about Brighton? I mean, I had Connolly this week, and I was hoping for something from him, actually. Mm. Given that he's 4.5, 4.6 in the game, I can forgive him that he didn't get something, right? But it was either play him or Pokey, and much, wasn't it, in the end?
Yeah.
But of the three, of Morpai and Connolly and Trossard, it's actually Trossard that came to the fore. So is he one to potentially have a look at now? Given that the fixtures for Brighton look like this, by the way, Man United away, Leicester, Liverpool, Arsenal, Wolves. Yeah. I like him, but I don't like him that much.
And so this is my issue with Brighton. So one of my subs this week was obviously to lose Otamendi, and I really seriously thought about getting Dunk from Brighton. But yeah, the fixtures after this one really put me off. So I thought, well, I'm going to get a clean sheet from him in game week 11. But then I looked at those fixtures coming after and thought, I'm not really sure that I'm that enamoured by Brighton.
But for someone who's looking and scouting at Trossard
but
and
Trossard,
Dunk...
And I think Trossard is different, though, isn't it? Because, you know, Dunk I don't necessarily see getting clean sheets, but Trossard, there's attacking potential in those games.
Yeah. Have a look at him over those games and see if you want him from game week 16-17.
I think
he's
definitely one to keep on the radar. Okay. He did look really good in this game. Okay.
And Norwich, not only are they defensively poor, but it's really dried up for them now, isn't it, going forward?
Just get off of them.
Just get off, yes. It's time. I can't see anything. I'm sorry, guys, but I can't see anything other than Norwich going down right now. Something's really, really got to change there. Really got to change. Mm. Talking of other teams that might go down, Manchester United. Away at Bournemouth. No, I'm joking. Bournemouth 1, Manchester United. I'm going to get absolute pelters for that now.
Man United are going to go down. They're on the same points as Spurs.
I'm going to get pelters for that. Josh will probably agree, by the way, but I'll get pelters for that.
Josh is not happy, Bunny.
Why? Oh, not happy bunny. I thought you said not happy by you. I was going to say, what have you done to upset him?
Oh, no,
he's not a happy bunny because of this.
No, I haven't upset him. Well, I don't think so. I might have, but I don't think I have.
Bournemouth 1, Manchester United 0. Kevin Melia in the live chat has just... It's just flagged, show or hide. Should I hide? Yeah, well done, Josh.
Even Josh has stood up for you.
Kevin Melia. Absolutely brilliant. Kevin Melia has just absolutely sworn at me, which is quite right, because I'm slagging off his team. And Josh, who's a fellow United fan, has muted
him.
Well done, Josh. Brilliant stuff. Well done, Kevin. Go on, then. Give us your view on the game. We did watch the game. I happen to think that King took his goal pretty well. There was a lot of people on Twitter saying, well, Wan-Bissaka stood off him and they didn't get around him quick enough. I thought he took it quite well, Josh.
I did too. But, I mean, well, where should we start with? Man United or Bournemouth? We'll start with Bournemouth for a minute. I think the problem I've got with the Bournemouth attackers is, one, the goals just seem to have dried up. And when they do get a goal, it's not the same person all the time anymore. So at the beginning of the season, it was Callum Wilson and I was on the wrong one because I was on King and you had to be on Wilson. But now it's not consistent enough at all to pick one of their assets. So I think if you're going to go Bournemouth, it has to be defensively.
Mm. Do you think... sorry to cut across you, but do you think... I was going to go into Manchester United there. Go on, finish up on Bournemouth and then we'll go to Manchester United.
So I think for me, if you own Callum Wilson, there's too many better options out there.
He's a funny player, isn't he, Wilson? I just can't get my head around him.
No, I know.
He's 4 or 5 weeks brilliant, 4 or 5 weeks guff. And actually, even in the first few game weeks when he was returning FPL points left, right and centre, even then, if you remember rightly, there was like, you know, fouls for penalties that were given as assists. And, you know, it wasn't really passing the eye test massively, Callum Wilson. And here we are, we've seen some regression, and now I think you've got to get off him. But if you do, you know what's going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think, you know, we both actually made the same transfer this week. I very nearly did Ake. So I spent a lot of time looking at...
Did we both do Otto Tarico?
We did, yeah.
Did we? Oh,
and okay. I spent a lot of time thinking about Ake. I really like Ake. I think he's a really good defender.
A little bit of goal threat there as well.
A little bit of goal threat. Yeah. And there's more solidity in terms of his place in the starting lineup than there is with Rico. There is still that rotation risk with Rico. But the key thing that did it for me in the end was I just wanted the money. I needed the money for where I want to go over the next couple of weeks. And so I ended up doing Rico and then benching him, whereas you brought Rico in and played him.
I have to say, I thought Rico was... Well, in the first 20 or so minutes, skinned alive a number of times by Daniel James. And you could see United were getting the ball out to Daniel James every single time because he had Rico on toast. And then he sat a little bit deeper. He gave James a little bit of a start on him. And Eddie Howe changed up the midfield structure a little bit. And they sort of nullified it a little bit.
They did,
And Man United then didn't adapt to the fact that Bournemouth had adapted. I mean, Eddie Howe, fair play to him. He spotted that. He changed it. nullified the threat, and then Man United didn't counter-react, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. I think, you know, I bought Enrico for that very reason. I'm looking at Bournemouth thinking, well, they're watertight at the back at the moment. They look very promising in terms of keeping clean sheets, at least. I don't want to be on their attacking assets, but I don't want to miss out on any more clean sheets. The irritating thing is that probably if I'd have bought in Ake, I probably would have played in this week because it's that price thing. So it's that thing that says, well, if I'm going to spend that much more on a player, I really should play him.
Yeah.
But because it was Rico, it was like, well, it's a game against Manchester United. With players like Rashford and Martial, there's always a chance of a goal with United. So I kind of benched him thinking that was more likely. Plus, I thought that Tomori had a bit more attacking returns threat, and I definitely wanted to play Lundstrom, so okay, we are where we are. But I think moving forward, I'm really pleased to have him.
Okay, all right, and I think you're absolutely right about United in recent times. Since Martial came back, certainly last game week, it did look a lot better. Yeah. And Rashford and Martial do play nicer together. There's no doubt about it. The point I was going to make before I cut across you before and stopped was that, do you think Manchester United a little bit, and you guys in the live chat can tell us, Josh is in, and obviously Kevin can comment as well. Do you think United are a bit one-dimensional? I got the fit. They just lacked that creativity in midfield. I wondered whether, and I don't think he's the greatest creative midfielder on the planet anymore, but he was definitely good at his peak. I definitely still think he could add something to their game. It's Juan Mata. I think if Mata was in there, they might have got something out of that game, but they're so intent on, you know, let's win the ball and then counter-attack, and we're just all about pace on the counter-attack, which is fine, but if you set up a system to break that counter-attack or counter the counter in the way that Bournemouth did that pretty successfully at the weekend, United don't really have a plan B. They don't have any creativity in that midfield, I don't think. Players like Fred and McTominay, I personally really like McTominay. I think he's a very, very good player. I don't think Fred is a very good player. But with those two in there, they both do a similar sort of role. Not creative, are they?
No, I kind of feel like Manchester United, and I'm sorry to lump you in with us, but I kind of feel like they're a bit like us at the moment. There's no backup plan. So if the first plan don't work, they've got nowhere to go with it. So they go out with a strategy, and if that fails, there is literally no one out there that grabs the game by the scruff of its neck and says, no, we'll try this. Mm. There isn't that leader on the pitch. There isn't that consistency, and there's not that management from the two managers at the moment. I just feel like they're a bit floundering.
So FPL-wise, getting back on track to FPL, Martial at 7.6 out of position, how are you feeling? No, really, at the moment, until we see a bit of consistency.
The other thing I don't like about Martial is that the risk of injury. He's so injury-prone, I kind of feel like I'm going to bring him in, and then he might not do anything. And then in a couple of game weeks' time, I've got an injured player I've got to get rid of again.
All right, well, listen, we need to move on then from Manchester United, I think. Steve Wynyard is in. Thank you, Steve, for the super chat. Another fellow Manchester United fan. He is saying...
Is he telling you to get lost as well?
No, he's not quite using the same terminology as Kevin was earlier on in the live stream. He's saying United are one-dimensional counter-attacking team, which is absolutely what we were saying. Mata's legs are gone. Yeah, I agree. Even with gone legs, though, he would give you a bit of something. I don't know. I do agree with you. I think his best days are absolutely past him, Mata. Hence, he doesn't get the game. But still think he'd give you something. We were awful. Avoid, he says. And on that basis, on Steve's say-so and permission, we will move on, Sam, from that game. Let's talk about... Where do we go next? Man City, Southampton? Let's have a talk about that. The Pep roulette strikes again. No Mendy. A lot of people thinking about getting Benjamin Mendy into their teams, me included. I had a choice to go either up from Otamendi to Mendy, and I was going to make some sacrifices elsewhere and maybe even spend some points to get Mendy in.
Yeah.
Or I was going to do Otamendi to Rico. And in the end, I'm very glad that I did Otamendi to Rico and took the money out to reinvest next week, because no Mendy now is a massive problem, isn't it? A massive problem. Not only have we got rotation up the pitch, but we've got rotation down the pitch and at the back as well. Very, very difficult now to pinpoint who you're going to go for in that Man City
but
side.
But let's also be honest. Do we want them?
Well, quite. I mean, this is the question that Mark's asking in the polls. How many Man City assets do we want? 3, 2, 1 or 0? Is there a case, given that the fixtures look like this? I got the fixtures, wrote them down earlier. Man City, Liverpool away, of course, next week. Chelsea at home, which is absolutely not a gimme the way that Chelsea are playing right now, particularly how they play away from home, Chelsea. Very good.
Chelsea, we'll talk to them about them in a minute. They're brilliant right now.
Then City are going away to Newcastle. Okay, Burnley away, okay, and then Manchester United at home. That's not five of the easiest fixtures ever for Manchester City. So could you make a case for zero Man City, or do you think you need someone, right? You need someone there. What do you think?
I wouldn't feel confident going with none.
Yeah.
Because I kind of feel like, well, you saw in this game, didn't you, that, you know, Southampton actually did really, really well for... a large percentage of that game. But Man City are that team. They're like Liverpool, just knock, 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 constantly on the door until eventually they get through. And at that point, if you don't know any City, your overall rank's going to just fall through the floor.
Yeah, Josh Oram is in. He's saying, one only, he thinks. KDB is essential for Man City, in my opinion. Chris is saying, KDB still essential. Another Hoops, just KDB for me. So
that's where I am right now.
It feels like KDB is the one to have if that's the one you're going to go for. I can't, as a Sterling owner, I just can't get my head round whether he's good or whether he's not. It's just, it feels like...
it's a lot of money.
It is, and given that Mendy, I still think there's this fundamental problem between Mendy and Pep. I still think there's this fundamental problem that he just doesn't trust him. And I don't know whether Angelino was unfit in the last few weeks or whatever, but he put Mendy in for a couple of weeks, didn't he? And he did okay. But the effect that that has on Sterling is phenomenal. Now, I don't think Angelino had a bad game from what I could make out of the weekend. Wasn't quite bombing forward with quite as much gusto as Mendy, but he was still getting forward.
No, but it means Sterling goes wide.
But Sterling, I think, doesn't really yet know how to play with him.
Mm.
So I don't know. If you're a City fan and you're in the live chat, let us know. If you still think Sterling is a really, really good FPL asset, get in the comments below. If you think he's a keep, if you think he's a sell, I want to hear from you. And we're going to address the poll question at the end as well. I personally, I'm really split. I'm really, really split.
I still don't, I just mind don't know. That. And I thought by 12, well, nearly 12 game weeks in, that I'd be really urged to get Sterling would be. And yeah. It started to come back last week. And then as soon as I saw Mendy on the team sheet, I went, oh, well.
Yeah, right, Benny now. Blanco is saying Sterling is a season keeper. Yeah, Sherwin is saying Sterling will score 20 goals this season. Keep, yes. That is in the back of my head insofar as
goals.
At the minute,
he's not obviously seen that not... at the moment.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. And what about Sergio Aguero and the Jesus thing? He obviously got his goal at the weekend, Sergio, but...
You just
don't know, do you? You just don't know what you're going to get out of
them.
And
it's Champions League again now, so where are we going? Yeah. I mean, I presume...
Can't trust him, can you?
And I presume that... Well, I mean, this is going to be a ridiculous comment to make, really, but they've got Liverpool next. You surely think that Pep doesn't rotate for Liverpool?
You'd think he'd put his first 11 out. Yeah, absolutely. Have you noticed the mind games have started already, by the way?
Yeah, well, of course
he'd come out with, the post-game interview from the Man City-Southampton game.
He was
asked about, you know, did you know Liverpool won 2-1? And he said, yeah, they just find a way to win, you know, be it diving or be it a good bit of skill or whatever. And I just thought... You cheeky little monkey, started the mind games already. We live rent-free in your head, Pep Guardiola. There we go, Man City 2, Southampton 1. Southampton, nice reaction from them. Nice reaction.
Yeah.
Not considering any of their FPL assets yet. Need to see a serious
upturn.
Nice to
have JWP back, though. It would be good to have him back on the FPL scene.
Absolutely. Ward-Prowse with the goal. Needed a reaction after that 9-0. And
they
despite losing, I think
yeah, they got
I'm not
going
to say they'd be happy with it, but...
They should take a lot of confidence and a lot of heart from that
from
game.
The performance. You're right. It's absolutely the right thing to say. Let's go and talk about a team that I just continue to be impressed with week in, week out. I'm not going to talk about De La Feu's penalty and whether it was or whether it wasn't.
Oh, my God, VAR.
Just VAR again. Just does my head
in. Cost me 4 points.
Tomori owners. Yes, if you're a Tomori owner,
absolutely
there was a
livid.
Lot of people not livid. Happy with that VAR decision if you're a Tomori owner. Pulisic,
How's Delhi handling it? Not a penalty, and that is.
Don't. We're not talking about VAR. We're not talking about it. But I do want to talk about Chelsea because Pulisic with another goal. Callum Hudson-Odoi benched again for the second game week in a row. Abraham comes back for all of those people that sold him, which I don't think was too many.
He's the most
but
owned
after
to get
a
player
few...
in the game, isn't he?
Say again.
Most owned in the game.
He's the most owned in the player, but I do think there was a little bit of angst going into this game week, having not scored in the last few weeks, and a few people were starting to waver on him a little bit. But he's popped up, particularly away from home.
Yeah, he's
good
away from
home.
Yeah.
And not that I think that Jorginho is a great FPL asset yet. He might be one day, but what an assist, by the way. What an assist. Pass of the season from Jorginho.
Yeah.
Absolutely sublime. So, again, I sit here every week and I just lord over Chelsea. Were it not for the fact that we have two outstanding teams in this Premier League right now this season that are clearly better than everybody else, I think, they're the best of the rest, aren't they, Chelsea, right now?
Definitely.
They will have a blip. I've said it last week. They will have a blip, Chelsea. But right now, they're fantastic.
For a group of kids that aren't really Premier League experienced and certainly aren't experienced as a unit altogether.
Nor's the manager Premier League experience,
no, I know,
really.
But
fantastic.
But even it's not even like they've got a non-Premier League experienced manager and a group of players that have at least played together before. These are players that have been sent off on loan to a variety of different places and then just been bundled back together and gone, go on, off you go.
So how are you feeling about Callum Hudson-Odoi as an FPL asset now? Is he a problem in your team now?
Don't know yet. I'm not sure on this one.
Pulisic is doing everything right to keep his place, isn't he, at the minute?
He is. He is. I don't know, is my honest answer. I don't know how I feel about it. I think if I see Callum Hudson-Odoi on the starting lineup for the Champions League in midweek, that's a problem.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know, is my honest answer. I mean, I earned 0.1 out of him, and when I had him, he did me some nice things. He is one that is certainly on the chopping block this week, but obviously I've got ill Harry Kane and Salah with his dodgy ankle and Cantwell.
I think Cho, although he's a nice price, I do think he's a problem for you. I do think he's a problem for anyone that's got Callum Hudson-Odoi. I do think he's a problem. I don't see that he's going to nail down that left side. I see Pulisic nailing down that left side. Frank has obviously given Pulisic a bit of time out of the team to go and recover and get used to the surroundings, etc. And now he's come back and he's got 3 goals in 2 games. He's looking very, very good. I know that they're both adaptable. I know that they're both pretty versatile. And I know that Callum Hudson-Odoi can play elsewhere. But if you look at those players that are playing in those other positions, I don't see how he gets rid of Willian out of that team right now. I don't see how he gets rid of Mount. On another day, against Watford, Mount gets 15 points. But an absolute belter that Foster tipped onto the bar.
But can these players continue to play week in, week out? Can Mount play 90 minutes every week at his age? Pulisic obviously can, he's a bit older, but can, not a lot older, but a little bit older. Do you know what, can Mount sustain this? There's got to be some rotation in that Chelsea mid if they want to sustain cup runs and Champions League and the league. There's got to be some rotation. So at 5.9... I don't need to... This is at 6 now, but I got him at 5.9. I don't need Callum Hudson-Odoi necessarily to play every week when I've already got 2 other Chelsea players. So it's not like... It's not like he's Pulisic. If I had Pulisic and he wasn't playing, I'd be annoyed because the cost implications of that are greater. So Callum Hudson-Odoi feels like it might be a problem, but it's not a problem I have to deal with immediately.
I don't think... I think Mount is... So I agree with you. Potentially, I do think you need to think about where you go with Cho, but who am I to argue with you in your 7K rank? But of all of them, I think Mount is pretty nailed. I think he's pretty nailed. Frank knows him better than any other player.
That's true.
If he thought that he needed a rest, he'd give him a rest.
Yeah.
And playing in the Championship is bloody difficult, by the way. Week in, week out for Derby, an aggressive league like that, a demanding league. I'm not saying that coming to the Premier League is easy, right? It's definitely not. But Frank will know whether Mount can do that week in, week out. Over Christmas, I think we'll see some rotation. But Frank is in such a lovely position insofar as he's got...
Pedro
can't get a look in at the minute, and when he comes on, he plays well.
And this is exactly what
Loftus-Cheek will come back, right?
Loftus-Cheek's going to be back. There's going to be so many players in that Chelsea midfield that it is a bit of a minefield working out who's getting a spot and who's not getting a spot. So let's see. I don't... Personally, for me... I don't think Callum Hudson-Odoi did anything wrong in the game that he sat out for. I think he just gave him a rest because he was coming back from injury.
Yeah.
And Pulisic just happens to have stood up and been counted in those two games since. But we'll see. I'm not overly worried about it just yet.
And as Steve is saying in the Super Chat, thank you, Steve, didn't Mount play a lot last season?
Yeah, absolutely.
And Frank knows it better than any. If you were to pick 2 Chelsea assets right now, you had a wild card, 2 Chelsea assets going forward? Tammy, I think, is one, right?
Tammy, definitely. The other's a bit more difficult.
I think I'd go Tammy and Pulisic, actually, yeah. Given that his ownership is so low down and he's showing quite a lot of form, I just really worry
about the rotation risk in the Chelsea mid.
Yeah, I think Mount is pretty safe. Not much to talk about off on the Watford side, so we're going to move swiftly on. Sorry, Joe, we're going to move swiftly on. Let's have a very quick word on a couple of other games because we are rapidly heading towards the top of the hour. Arsenal versus Wolves. Do you know what? I looked at the stats of this game and Wolves had a ton of shots in that game. An absolute ton of shots. Plenty on target as well.
Yeah.
And actually, Jimenez came in as the top player for the game week for shots, actually, this game week with 8, which was 2 more than the next highest, which was Mane in at 6. So Jimenez, absolutely on my radar for next game week. Given that he had a good game, got on the score sheet, and I know they have Europa League, I know they have all of that stuff going up, but if you look at Wolves' fixtures coming up, they've got Villa at home. Now, we know Villa at Villa Park can be good, but Villa away from home, they don't travel quite so well. Then it's Bournemouth, then it's Sheffield United, West Ham United, and then Brighton. So the Wolves' next 5 look very, very good indeed, and I need out of that Pookie party pretty damn quickly. And I'm absolutely looking at Jimenez. How are you feeling about that game in general? Any Wolves assets catching your eyes on the basis of the fixtures?
Jimenez. I've wanted Jimenez for a couple of weeks now, and my original plan, if you remember, about two weeks ago, was to take Kane out for Jimenez.
Okay.
And then Kane's been on a bit of a recovery since, and I kind of felt like I couldn't really do it. But Jimenez is definitely on my radar and is definitely one to watch. But Moutinho played well in that game as well, I thought, when I watched the highlights on on Match of the Day.
Jota was actually third for XG underachievers this game week, so potentially a bit unlucky not to get amongst the points. And some of the guys in the live chat saying they can feel a bit of a streak coming from Jota. He's a bit of a streaky player. Maybe he's about to explode.
I think that there is a definite case for getting one Wolves player. It's just working out which one you're going to do. And I think Jimenez is potentially a little bit harder for some people, because if you've already got three top performing strikers up the top, like if you're on Abraham and Vardy, for example, it's hard to then fit in Jimenez as well. So looking at the midfielders might be an option, but I do feel like really it's the old golden boy.
Okay, very good. And from an Arsenal perspective, actually, we had a super chat. Let's just have a look at this super chat before we move on. Sammy Day, thank you for the super chat. He's saying Lacazette an option. So there's a nice segue. Arsenal then, Lacazette an option, one to keep an eye on potentially, despite the fact that Aubameyang gets the goal.
Yeah, I mean, he did get the assist, but
What is it that makes me not trust Arsenal right now? What is it about them as a club? And I don't mean their FPL assets, because Aubameyang will always get points, right? I don't see him necessarily bagging a ton of points, but he'll get goals. I just don't feel like I can invest in Arsenal at all right now.
Don't you think that that's because of all the chatter that you hear? So the Arsenal fans, God love them, are so vocal. Whether it's going
well
or badly, that it doesn't matter. They're very vocal in their opinions about what's happening at their football
club. I like that about Arsenal fans, though, don't you?
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. It's a good thing. But I think that also means, from us as an FPL manager point of view, it's hard to invest in Arsenal because you only get extreme positives or extreme negatives from Arsenal fans. So when you go out there and you talk to the Chelsea fans or you talk to the Villa fans or whoever else it is, you get a much more kind of... But with Arsenal, you don't get that. And I think it's very difficult then to decide, well, who am I going to go with? I also don't know what goes on in Emery's head in terms of, you know, suddenly Ozil's back on the scene or what's happening about Sabias, Pepe's getting benched. Like, how do you know what's going to happen with all that midfield? Now, Lacazette and Aubameyang, you would think the minutes are going to hold, but I don't know which one of them I would prefer.
Okay, interesting comment there about Emery from you. Actually, I think, there's a lot of talk on Twitter about Emery might not be the one and who do they get next and stuff, which I don't know if that feels a little bit quick for me. I don't know. But a few of you guys, see what you guys are saying in the live chat about Arsenal. Chris Speed is saying, Emery's tactics, Gary Shaw. Arsenal have a weak mentality. Paul J, it's Emery and his tactics that are the problem, not necessarily the players.
It does feel like that.
Interesting comments, guys. Interesting. Gerard Casey just sold Aubameyang for Jimenez. Wow, okay, very good.
A lot of money in the
Jimenez
bank there.
Jimenez in early doors for game week 11. Very, very good. Or for game week 12, I should say. Gary Shaw, you can't trust them. Yeah, you can't just... Yeah, that's how I feel. Florin Sandu, there's no style of play at Arsenal. Do you know what? That has hit the nail on the head there from Florin. I can't... What are Arsenal right now? What are they?
I don't know.
What is their style? What is Arsenal Football Club? I don't get it. And on that basis,
we get to watch.
I can't invest on him.
I mean, they're playing on Wednesday, aren't they? In the Europa League this week, not Thursday, Wednesday. So let's see what they look like then. But I'm just not seeing any consistency. I'm not seeing any backbone at the moment from them.
Backbone. All right. Listen.
Bit like us.
The only thing we're going to talk about in this game is how good Lundstrom is. That's it. I'm going to move on and say, get Lundstrom. If you haven't got him yet, get him.
And stop benching him.
Stop benching him. He's amazing. Just play him.
If he's at home, play him.
He was just unreal in that game. And actually, there was a word for Lys Moussa as well. Three assists in that game from Moussa. Yeah. He caused them problems, by the way. And I know it's
Burnley
are going through their own problems right now, etc. But Moussa, I thought, was fantastic. Really,
was
really
on
it.
On the trot for him, though.
Really, really on
it.
He's keeping Robinson out of that team right now, and rightly so.
Yeah.
He caused them issues. So I don't want to say too much more about that other than Lundstrom. Yes, absolutely.
No, don't bench him away to Spurs. Play him. Have you watched us?
Oh,
play
absolutely
Lundstrom
play.
Versus Spurs.
Yeah, absolutely. He is the one to have, no doubt about it. I've got Pope, the Burnley keeper. I don't know about him, you know, I'm thinking about getting rid of him. Let's move on. Let's talk about the games today. Very briefly, Everton versus Spurs then. It was, you know, it weren't a good game, was it? It was not a good game. The first half was bad. There was bad VAR decisions. Martin Atkinson was refereeing, which means that it's going to be poorly refereed. Did I say that out loud? Yes, I did. Dele Alli took his goal really nicely, but it came from an Iwobi mistake. You then had the Andre Gomes incident. You then had 12 minutes of injury time, which was nonsense. You then had poor Spurs defending for the equaliser. It was just all round. And FPL Chancellor Dan, I was following him on Twitter. He was all through the game. He was just like, "Please, can this game just end? I just don't want to watch this game anymore."
It was awful.
And I tell you what, I was a bit like that. I got to full time. I was a bit like, "Thank God that's finished." It was bloody awful, wasn't it? How did you feel about the game?
No, it was awful. It was utter tripe. Is my honest. My honest view on it.
Yeah, it was
dreadful. Yeah, I don't really know what to say about Spurs at the moment.
FPL-wise, who would you have out of the Everton and Spurs side? Who?
Nobody.
There's no one jumping out the page for me there on either of those sides. I thought Son looked pretty good, but of course now he's suspended, so...
They're going to appeal, apparently.
Okay, well, you know, let's see, but...
You might not have to make a transfer, but even if you don't, you probably want to. We're so bad at the moment.
Yeah, I don't know. And Azzy is in. Azzy, good evening. He's saying Ericsson was awful. Don't get Sam started on Ericsson.
Please don't.
He's got to go.
I have lost it. So for the last few weeks, I have been really calm.
His head has gone.
And I've been really patient. But this week, I have lost it with Ericsson. I've totally lost it with Poch as well. Because why does he play him? I get Lo Celso isn't fully fit. I get that. But
Ericsson's not asked. So just play a player that cares.
But play Lo Celso for 60 minutes.
Yeah, totally.
And if he's not fit to play 90 minutes, then take him off and put Sessegnon on for the last. Yeah. And also, when you're putting Lo Celso on, why are you taking Dembele off? He looked good. I'm just so furious. So can we move on?
We absolutely can move on after that. And by the way, I agree with everything you've said. Ericsson is complete guff, but then don't play him. If he's rubbish, don't play him. And then today, earlier, was Palace 0, Leicester 2. Now, here's a team.
This game was one of the best games of football I've watched. Not because...
It's the most frustrating game ever.
Not because of the football, but because of Lee. Lee was absolutely hilarious during this game.
I hated this game. I hated it. It was a good game. It's a good game, first thing to say. And, you know, Leicester played very well. And going to Palace and winning 2-0 is no mean feat. That is another big statement, possibly just as big as the 9-0 from last week. That is a big statement from Leicester.
Yeah.
But every frigging corner, Soyuncu was the decoy and they hit Evans every single time. The ball in from Maddison, straight to Evans. The one time they decided to mark Evans, they let Soyuncu go completely and he just was like, bonk. And I was like, oh my God. And I benched him, our second bench, Soyuncu, guys. Wasn't coming on for me. Now, I was pleased to get the Maddison assist. I'll talk to you a bit about Maddison later on. Ridiculously creative in that game. Maddison was by far the best player on the pitch, in my opinion. He was fantastic. So creative. He created something like 6 chances in the first half, which was more than anybody else on the pitch by a long, long way. And I know he takes a lot of corners, but that, for me, just adds to his appeal. I thought he was fantastic today. So the Soyuncu goal, I'm obviously disappointed because he's not coming on. I'm hearing rumours on Twitter that Kane hasn't travelled with Spurs. So I'm thinking, you've got Soyuncu coming on. So the game is just like... I'm just annoyed, guys.
You were willing Palace to score a goal.
I really wanted Palace to score. And I was just annoyed that you were getting so into off the bench.
Going, this game is primed for Vardy to score in the last 10 minutes. So, mark my words, Vardy's going to score.
So here we go. So this is an insight into how this game went for me. I'm pissed off that Soyuncu's coming off your bench for Kane. And in the last sort of 10 minutes, Benteke came on, Palace started pushing on. Of course they've got to.
Mm-hmm.
It's 1-0, they've got to. And I'm like... Vardy has not had a sniff in this game. He has not had a sniff. He's barely had a touch, Vardy. And I said, in that last 10 minutes, Palace will push and he will score at least one. And he bloody went and scored, didn't he, Vardy? Oh, my God.
I nearly packed him in a box at this point because he was so annoyed.
Absolutely hate that little rat bag. A goal for Vardy in like the 84th minute. I was so annoyed. And I know you guys, a lot of you will have Vardy. You'd be very pleased with that. But guys, he didn't have a sniff. He didn't have a sniff and Maddison was way better.
And then he got really annoyed because Vardy was on for a bonus point. And then when I told him that Vardy had lost his bonus point, he was like, well, he didn't deserve a bonus point in the first place.
So actually, from your perspective, owning Vardy and Soyuncu coming off your bench, that was the perfect game for you. Couldn't have gone any better.
Yeah.
Couldn't have gone any better. Yeah. You've got to be happy with that. Right. That's... Emotion down.
We've got a bit emotional about today's games, didn't we?
It's been a very emotional live stream, actually. Very emotional live stream. We need to move on. Let's go and have a look at... Gabriel's a legend now
for calling him a rat bag.
He's a rat bag. I hate him. He's a nightmare. It always scores against Liverpool as well. Rat bag. Right. Let's have a look at... Where are we going?
What are we doing?
I don't know, I've completely lost it. I just want to give a quick shout out to the guys that are in the top five of the November Manager of the Month Patreon League. So guys, it is not too late if you want to join the November Manager of the Month Patreon League. You can, patreon.com/FPL family. Now, to be fair to everyone that's in there, I'm going to close it as soon as the next game week starts, which I think is Saturday again this week, isn't it?
No, I think it's Friday night.
Is it a Friday?
I think it's Friday night.
Ooh, we need to have a look at that.
I got the feeling. I remember thinking, you've got to get Sky set up for Friday.
Oh my God, have I really? No pressure. You're right. Norwich versus Watford.
Thought so.
Goodness me. All right, guys.
What is that game going to be? Norwich and Watford.
I tell you what, the way Norwich are playing, I actually back Watford in that game. So, Friday the 8th of November at 7 p.m. GMT, which is when the game week 12 starts. That is when Norwich will kick off against Watford an hour later. So the game week will start. That is when I will close entries to November's Patreon Manager of the Month. So there is still time. If you want to get into our November Manager of the Month Patreon League, you can do that. All the links are in the description below. patreon.com/FPL family. Winners get all sorts of cool signed football stuff. You can get signed footy shirts, signed street signs from our partners, kickingtheballs.com. Again, links in the description below. You can currently use the discount code FPLFamily10 over at kickingtheballs.com if you want to get 10% off
Christmas presents.
Any purchases, loads of great stuff over there for Christmas presents. So go and check those guys out once you finish with us here at FPL Family. It's actually Pete Hansen. Pete Hampson and his team, the Chelsea Pensioners.
Oh, I love that.
They're leading the way with 97 points already. 97 points from this game week is a phenomenal score.
It would be appropriate if he won in November, wouldn't it? With Armistice Day and all that.
Absolutely, yeah. So Pete leading the way. David Strombold in second with 89 points, which is absolutely not to be sniffed at all. Ashia May is in third. Frank Verlinden, a former Manager of the Month, actually. Former champion. Frank Verlinden back in amongst it, in the mix with 83 points. David Grinnell with 82 and Alex Tyke with 82 as well. So those guys
have all had
a really, really nice start to the November League, Manager of the Month League. So guys, keep it up. And I think you are about sort of 6th or 7th as well. So we're going to... Yeah, you're in there. You're in the mix.
Better than last month.
And with that in mind, let's have a look at your team. So a fantastic score for you this game week. Very, very good. Incredibly, incredibly jammy. Absolutely no skill whatsoever in getting this 80 points. Jammiest 80 points you will ever see in your life, guys. Overall rank of... There's the death stare. There it is again. Overall rank of 7.9k, which, frankly, is pretty bloody astounding.
No, I can't.
It's with jamminess like Sundjaw off the bench, I have got absolutely no hope in ever catching you. I have the wooden spoon trophy. I'm doing all right. I'm having a good season. But compared to your jamminess, I've got absolutely no hope. Talk us through your team before I get too emotional again.
Double Sheffield United, absolutely living the dream. Thank you very much.
Sheffield United defence. Not the first time you've double Sheffield United defenced it.
No, came up last time as well. So pleased with them. Pleased with McGinn. Obviously, Vardy and Abraham both returning. Bit annoying to have Rico on my bench. Very
80 points with a captain blank is pretty bloody good work, isn't it? But that's what Lundstrom and Soyuncu will do for you.
Absolutely. Very, very lucky to get Soyuncu coming on. That's very nice. But, you know, I'd rather have had Kane play, quite frankly, against Everton.
Don't give me that rubbish.
Well, we needed him today. Crumbs, did you watch us?
Oh, Kane hasn't travelled with the team. Oh, so I'm so disappointed.
All right, bitter and twisted. Let's see your team.
80 points, overranked 7.9k. Absolutely.
10k green arrow.
Flipping brilliant at this time of the season.
Got to hold it now.
The pressure's on. You've got to be... This is like... Top 1k territory, potentially.
Oh, stop it now.
I've been
here once before and then I was shot back down to 24k and I've had to come back up again.
The revival was back on this week. 80 points. Very, very good indeed. I'm not too far behind you this week. Not too far. 76 points. I will take it, guys. I will take it.
It's a very good game week.
Given that my captain completely messed up, the Sterling captain was no good whatsoever. So 76 points. I've taken a massive chunk out of my overall rank. I was at about 233, actually, last week. Maybe... 229, actually, if I remember rightly. So about 100k up. So I'm very, very pleased with that. Obviously, Lord Lundstrom is front and centre from the team. 21 points. Absolutely fantastic. Delighted to obviously take Otamendi out for Rico. I think I still would have played Rico I would have played Otamendi. If I had not done the transfer, what would I have done? I think I would have put Otamendi in there, and he probably would have subbed out for Soyuncu.
But then he wouldn't have, because he came on for one.
But then he wouldn't have, because he played for one. He came on with seconds to go, didn't he?
So you'd have been worse off.
I would have been worse off. So in the end, I was pleased with my Otamendi to Rico anyway. And given the way that Pep seems to distrust Otamendi, pretty glad to be shot of him, frankly. I'm not sure he's going to be much of an asset going forward. Trent's in there with the 7. Mane with the 12, which was a real smash and grab 12 in the last sort of 4 minutes. I was obviously delighted to get that. Madison, I still think, is good value. If it wasn't for little Ratface's goal in the last 5 minutes, Madison, we'd all be talking about it's Madison's the one not to have rather than Vardy now, but there's still some conjecture there, I think. And the fixtures still look good. Having one of them seems like a sensible idea, guys. Madison got the 3 bonus points this game week. Was so creative. Such a good player. I really like watching him. Fantastic player.
I think Maddie got 2, actually.
Did he get 2?
Yeah, Soyuncu got 3.
Oh, did he? Right, okay. Fix says 3, but...
Or maybe
right.
I can't remember.
I don't know. Either way, he got 8 or 9 points, which is a nice return from him. Soyuncu on my bench with 14 is obviously disappointing. Gilbert got the 6 on my bench, but I was clearly not expecting that. He got taken off, I think, before the two Liverpool goals. So he got the 6, but wasn't expecting that anyway.
Both of them got 3.
They both got 3. Excellent. Thank you, guys. And then Tammy Abraham, again with a goal and assist, so can't complain with that. 12 points again with the 3 bonus. So I'm looking at my team and it feels a little bit lopsided.
Feel a little bit like if we could get a captain right lately.
I just can't get that captain.
No, I can't either.
Can't get it. If I get my captain right, I'd be up into the sort of 90s and then I'd be flying up. But listen, with all of the talk of who you're going to captain from your premiums, I just don't know. Well, listen, the next game we've got Liverpool versus Man City. There's a couple of other games which might make you move away from those premium captain options. Maybe Vardy, maybe Tammy, maybe Jimenez could all be captaincy options. So listen, keep following us at FPL Family on Twitter and at FPL Family on Instagram for some more insider knowledge We don't know anything above and beyond the average FPL player, do we?
Well, you get some insider knowledge into what we're doing.
Into what we're doing, yes. Yeah. So you'll get a feel for what we're doing over the course of the game week. But
I'm not sure
so
what that's helpful.
76 points, over rank of 133. I can't complain. I think it's all right. I'm kind of happy with that. Given that, and I say this every time, it's been a crazy season. It's been a crazy season.
Good fun, though.
Just shows you what someone like a Lundstrom popping up with 21 points, not as if no one owns him, right? But even with Lundstrom popping up, Mane popping up, suddenly you get 100k out of your rank. It's a bonkers season. It can swing either way very, very easily. So there we go. 76 points. Pretty happy. Let's finish on this. We are on the FPL show next Thursday. So if you guys can catch us live, we'd love for you to tune in to the FPL show with Jules, James and us on there. And if you can't catch us live on Thursday, catch us via the official Fantasy Premier League app or on the website. We'll be on there. All the links will be on both of our social medias where you can catch us there. And you'll also be on the FPL pod with Mr. James Richardson next Thursday as well, which normally is released on Friday.
Or very late Thursday night.
I think they'll try and squeeze it out Thursday, given that it's a Friday deadline,
isn't
it?
It's normally Thursday night these days. It normally squeezes out on a Thursday night.
Yes. So look out for us, guys. You will have even more FPL family goodness.
Don't forget about the polls.
Over the course of the week. Polls, of course. We've got the FPL show on Thursday. We've got the FPL pod on Thursday. Moving house on Wednesday. It's going to be a hell of a week, Sam. Daughter's birthday party on Saturday. Going to be a hell of a week. Let's have a look at these polls. Let's see what you guys are saying about these questions. Sam, you can answer these if you wish. Here we go. Let's bring them up. Which team will end up with the most clean sheets? Leicester City, Liverpool, Leicester, Man City, Liverpool, Sheffield United or Palace?
Liverpool.
I still think over the course of the season we'll be all right. 35% Liverpool, 34% Sheffield United, by the way.
People, I nearly went there.
People loving the Sheffield United. 35% Liverpool, 14% each for Leicester and Man City, and then 0 for Crystal Palace. Best Bournemouth defender to have now that they've kept 3 back-to-back clean sheets, Sam. Nathan Ake, Diego Rico, Steve Cook or Adam Smith. And I guess we should say best Bournemouth defender if money wasn't an issue.
Ake,
okay. People are still saying Diego Rico, 79%. Ake comes in at second with 16%. But
money
the
will be
overwhelming
playing a part
factor, yeah, is Diego Rico. Adam Smith with 2, Steve Cook with 1. Raheem Sterling, buy, hold or sell? What would you do if you owned Sterling? You would sell him, would
bye
you?
Bye.
You would sell him. Well, a lot of the guys are saying sell. 33%, a third of you are saying sell him. But 62%, almost pretty much everybody else, are saying to hold. Hold Sterling for now. Only 3% saying buy, though, interestingly. Ahead of this run of fixtures, which does look tricky for Manchester City, only 3% of you are saying he's worth getting on right now. And then this is the nice question from Mark. How many Man City players for the next five game weeks, Sam, are you trebling, doubling, just having one, or having none at all?
Just one.
Just the one. And that would be Kevin De Bruyne. Yeah, I think I tend to agree with you. Still, you guys are saying that two is still the preferred option. 54% of you saying two. 39% of you saying one. 4% of you saying three. And then only 2% being super, super brave and going with zero. So it's two or one. And actually, the guys are saying, still going to stick with two. Just about. But 39% on
too
one.
Too much money.
They are expensive, no doubt about it. Well, there we go, guys. That is it for another FPL family. We have got the busiest week coming up. But we are very much looking forward to getting in the new house, getting the Wi-Fi working. I don't know what's going to be the background. It's going to be just like a white wall, isn't it, to start with? But we should put some stuff on the wall.
Yeah, we've got our Kicking the Balls signs to go up.
We've got some cool stuff to go up from Kicking the Balls, yeah.
Found some other random... I found a 9-1... when we won against Wigan 9-1.
Oh, did you?
Picture that can go up.
With the ticket in it and stuff?
Nice, there's an Istanbul Liverpool one I found.
Yes, like in the sound of that. Is it all Spurs and Liverpool then? I think we need to get a John Lundstrom shirt in the way that Dave Munday has. Have you ever watched the Scout Cast? And Dave Munday's he's got Jimenez and Lundstrom.
Yeah, I kind of feel like we should have something.
Legends.
Like, we've also got a random rugby ball.
Can't have that after this weekend. No. That's got to go.
It's signed by somebody.
It's signed by Jason Leonard. Come on, can you get with it? I've got to sign Jason Lennon rugby ball.
Okay. I feel like we should get Wolves because our little boy's decided he really loves Wolves at the moment.
Really likes Wolves for some reason. Yes, really, really likes Wolves. Yeah. He couldn't tell you a single player on Wolves, but he particularly likes
Wolves. Maybe we'll get a little chef to stand all our little football men on.
There we go, guys. On that bombshell, thank you for
joining
us.
Who knows what you're going to see.
Thank you for joining us this evening. Well done in this game week. If you got up in the 50s and 60s, well done. 70s and 80s is absolutely fantastic. And a couple of our patrons there in the November Manager of the Month League getting into the 90s, which is absolutely sensational scoreline. Sensational scoreline. I think Andy, Let's Talk FPL, has just gone live over on his channel right now. So if you want to go and check out more FPL goodness, go check out Let's Talk FPL. Search for Let's Talk FPL in the search bar on YouTube. You'll find Andy's stream. He will be streaming live right now. So head over there. All that leaves me to say is, thank you for joining us. Hit subscribe if you're new around here. Make sure you hit the little notify bell. Leave us a like before you go, and we will see you, hopefully, new house and Wi-Fi pending, this time next week. See you then, guys.
Take care, guys. Bye.